So this morning I'm going to share with you just a message that God gave me, I believe, a few points a few months ago that I was like, okay, we'll see what happens with that. And then it just kind of hopefully came together. And trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It's one of my favorite verses I remember learning as a third, fourth grader in an Awanas program in a little church in North Dakota. And it was a great program for me because there was a lot of Bible verses and a lot of scripture memory. And I memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And many of you maybe have heard and memorized this yourself, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. What does that really mean? I think as a kid, this was a real easy verse to memorize. And it was easy to believe as a kid because you didn't have a lot of, at least I didn't. I grew up in a stable home. I had both mom and dad there. I had support. I grew up in a small town in a small school that you knew everybody. I mean everybody. Our school was in 3/4 of a city block, and that was kindergarten through 12th grade. It was divided in two halves, kindergarten through 6th grade in one half, 7th through 12th on the other. And I knew everybody by name, first and last, 7th to 12th grade. And that was what I grew up in. And it was easy to believe that God, to trust God in those situations. I was safe. I was in a good place. I grew up 20 miles from both my sets of my grandparents. And I could see them whenever I wanted. And so this was easy for me. But as I've gotten older, it's gotten harder at times to trust in the Lord with every situation, every circumstance, every area of my life. And I beg to say, I don't trust Him fully with every area of my life. I'm still learning. I'm still discovering places where I haven't let God in. There's closets and there's secrets and there's probably some dreams that I say, God, we're not touching this yet. And so I haven't trusted Him. But today, I want to challenge us to trust the Lord. Now, this first happens at salvation. At least I hope it happens at salvation, where you declare to God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't have all the answers. I'm in need of grace, and I need the touch of God on my life. I need His forgiveness. I need His guidance. I need Him to cleanse me. I need His love and acceptance to be poured into my life, and we need Him to pour into us what we lack. And maybe the older we get, the more we realize we lack a lot of things. And so maybe that's why as we get older, we trust the Lord more. But the problem is that many of us trust the Lord with our salvation. We believe in Him to forgive us of our sins, to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us new. But then we block out other areas of our lives. And we're going to explore some of those areas this morning to see if we're giving Him our all, to trust Him with all these things. It's kind of like, I believe, it's like getting to start to know somebody. You put on your good face and they put on their good face. And we share some details to get to know each other, but there's things that we're not definitely going to share with this new person. I don't know if they're a blabbermouth. I don't know if they're going to put it on social media, on Facebook. Oh, I had lunch with this person and they shared with me this and that. You don't know those things. And so As that trustworthy relationship develops and takes time, you open up, you share your hurts, your pains, your failures, your secrets, your fears, your struggles, and maybe your dreams, your hopes, your plans, your desires. And so today, I hope I can lead you a little bit in this journey and just say, God, I want to trust you some more. And that's my hopes. We're never going to fully trust Him. I don't think it's humanly possible, but man, we can sure grow and develop that area of our lives. And so, first area, and I've already mentioned this, is in faith. Faith is the beginning. If you don't start here, man, the rest is just some good choices, but it doesn't really matter, I don't think. If you don't begin with this faith, most in this room, I think, have taken that step of trusting in the Lord with your salvation. You've admitted you're a sinner. You've confessed your sins, and you've believed that He's forgiven you. Isn't that a good feeling? That burden gets lifted from that junk, that heaviness that some of us have carried for a while, that cleansing, that washing, that renewing, that erasing of the record of our junk. Man, it's so good. We sense that God loves you. And does it leave you in awe that God loves you because of who you are? I mean, He knows us better than ourselves. And there's times I don't like myself. There's times my wife doesn't like me. I know that's hard to believe, but I have moments where I'm not nice. I'm a jerk. When she used to call me a jerk, I knew she was serious. Man, God loves us. I should leave us in awe. We're sinners saved by grace. If you're in this place today without faith in God, today can be the day that that all changes. Today can be the day you respond to a relationship with the Lord and trust Him and let Him into your life. Join the family of God and be adopted into that family. Do you remember that day? I remember 7 years old, I went into my parents' bedroom on a Sunday afternoon and I said, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. I don't know what I had heard at church that day or what, but that was the day I accepted Jesus. And at 10 years old, I was baptized. But I was about 18 years old before I really said, Jesus, I'm all in. That was the day I surrendered. That was the day I said, God, whatever your plans are for me, here it is. I'm putting my faith that your plans are the best that I could possibly live out. If you've never prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be forgiven of your sins, to be accepted by God as one of his kids, today can be your day. If you've never taken a step of faith, the rest of what I share really won't matter, I don't think, if you don't take this step today. Acts 20, 21 says, and this was Paul saying this, I have had one message for Jews and Gentiles alike. This is what Paul preached. This is what he let out. He says, the necessity of turning from sin and turning to God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. As believers, this is what our message can be. Turn from your sin. You're headed to destruction. You're headed to hurt. You're headed to failure. But if you turn to God, it can turn around. And God can help you. Psalms 62:8 says, O my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. Trust in Him at all times. And our last verse here says, John 12:36, believe in the light. Well, there's still time. Then you'll become children of the light. We're not going to have forever to turn to trust in the Lord. I'm glad that many people do on what's called their deathbed, that they turn to the Lord. But man, what a bunch of wasted years. What a bunch of wasted years. If you live your entire life without trusting the Lord, today I urge you to put your trust in God, your faith in Him. Become a child of the light while there's still time. Let today be your day of salvation. And so we got to trust God with our faith. But man, once that happens, there's a whole lot more areas we can trust Him with. And one of those areas is our failures, our past. Our poor choices, our mistakes, our regrets, and our sins. It wouldn't take long if somebody to give you a sheet of paper this morning and say, make a list of all your junk. You could fill that page pretty fast, couldn't you? Maybe from last week. Maybe from yesterday. I don't know what your life is, what it is, but we've all got failures. And what do we do with those failures? I love Dave's story. Dave Ewer shared about a month or so ago. Dave could have stayed down because of his past. He could have been a failure his whole life. And yet he has chosen to grab the hand of God and say, okay, Lord, let's go. Doesn't mean, like you said, that there aren't consequences for our mistakes, our failures, our sins. But God tells me that He works all things for the good to those who love Him. He can take that past. I was a shoplifter from the age of about 12 years old until I got caught at 17. And you know what? I've been able to help some kids that have struggled with that too. Your struggles, your difficulties, your failures, you can use to help people. And I believe that's what part of trusting the Lord is with our failures. We all suffer from this human condition called the sin nature. We're going to screw up. We're going to fail. We're going to falter. I wish it wasn't so. I wish there was a switch inside of me that said, all right, here I go. But it's not. It's one choice at a time, one decision at a time, one day at a time that I've got to fight to trust the Lord and to live for Him and make godly choices. And so it's got this ongoing battle that around every corner, failure could lurk if you're going to falter or fall. Now, I got this book. You maybe can't see it here, but it's called Loser's Club. And it's got this picture of a teenage boy with braces and maybe one of his most awkward stages in life. I didn't put a picture up of one of my most awkward pictures because I might not be able to live it down. But in this book, he covers guys and people in the Bible, not just guys, but people like Moses and David, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, Peter, and other people in the Bible that failed and failed miserably. Moses was a murderer. He murdered a man. And then he ran and he hid. He ran from the consequences, but God went and found him. And he ended up being the leader of a great nation of over 1 million people, leading them to the promised land. There's a guy in the Bible named David, and I loved David as a kid. I love the stories of David and Goliath, and he slayed the giant, but David screwed up miserably. He saw a woman. He brought her to him. He slept with her. She was another man's wife. And then he's like, okay, well, whatever. Found out she's pregnant. Tried to connive and connive so that it would look like it's this man's child. And he brought this man in from war so that he could sleep with his wife and then it'd be surely his child. Well, the man was so loyal to the king and he's like, the other men in the army aren't enjoying this. I'm not either. And so we slept at the gates of the castle. He didn't go home. And David's like, I got to find another way. People can't find this out about me. And so he's like, let's put him at the heat of the war, or surely he's going to die. And that's what happened. David brings the woman in to be his wife and has a child, but he sinned, and he sinned greatly. And yet he's still referred to in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. Are you kidding me? And yet his failures didn't define the rest of his life. And there's one more I'm going to share, Mary Magdalene. She's not referred to a lot in the Bible, and we don't know a lot about her past, but it says in Mark 16:9, it says, it was early on Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead, and the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. What kind of junk was she in that she was possessed by 7 demons? What kind of failures, what kind of things was she involved in and choices she making to have 7 demons possess her life? That Jesus would have to cast them out. And yet, if you read a lot of the stories, especially of Jesus' death and resurrection, Mary Magdalene is mentioned in almost every story. She was delivered and she was set free. And man, I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus is waiting for every failure in this room to reach out to him and say, let's get back up and let's keep going. Don't let your failure define you. If God uses failures in the past, he's using failures in the present, he's going to keep using them in the future. All right? If God wouldn't use failures, he'd have nobody to use on this earth. And so I guess we're in good company, but that's good news for you and me, and that is that God can use us. It doesn't matter if we failed or not, but when we fail, what are we going to do about it? And God gives us some good answers here. People of faith respond by getting up, dusting off, and proceeding forward. Proverbs 24:16, for though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. He rises again. You got to rise again. Though you fall, though you fail, rise again. Get back in the game. Don't let this failure knock you out. Psalms 37 says, the steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will not fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Failure is a messy part of our lives. It causes far too many to lose their faith in the Lord. And I think why? Because there's condemnation, there's guilt, there's shame. And is it deserved? Yes. But can our God restore that? Can he deliver that? Can he wipe that away? Absolutely. And so that's where we got to be humble. We got to go before him and say, Lord, I've screwed up. I'll take whatever consequences you may have my way. But Lord, please rise me back up. Restore my family. Restore my position. Whatever it may be, go to him with humility and see what God does through you. Trust in the Lord with your failures. He's likely to even bring something good out of it and help somebody else. So we've got to trust in the Lord with our faith. Trust him with our failures. And next we got our fractures. Fractures. I refer to those as your hurts, your pains, and your brokenness. Those things that you don't want anybody to see. Your weaknesses. We've all been hurt in life. Once again, if you were to have a sheet of paper, I think you could quickly fill out every person that's hurt you and how they hurt you. Wouldn't take long, would it? Their scars, their wounds, their things that have happened to us. Some of us physically, I could say almost all of us emotionally or relationally. We've all had things said or done to us that have wounded us and broken us. Pain is a part of our lives. And our fractures can cause us to put up our guard and do a lot of things so that pain doesn't happen again. We can block out a lot of things. I'm not going to get hurt again. And so we're going to push everything to the side, and we're going to keep everything at bay. And in some ways, that's scriptural. It says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. If you don't guard your heart, you're going to get chewed up. But we don't guard our hearts from the Lord. You got to learn to trust Him. You got to learn to let Him in. We never guard our hearts from God. We open this, the verse says, trust the Lord with all your heart. We don't guard our hearts from Him, and we trust Him at the same time. We got to be careful how we handle these human relationships. I had two girls that were being molested, one by the dad and one by the stepdad. I've shared this story before. And some people believe that in order to forgive, you got to trust. And I said, that's the stupidest thing you could have ever said. Because that man for 6 years molested his stepdaughter and for a year and a half molested his own daughter. And I'm like, don't you ever trust that man again. Forgive him, yes. Trust him, no way. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Well, so what do we do with these hurts, these pains? They can happen at school. Can happen at home, at work, in private, in public, and even at church. Sometimes those are the hardest pains to get over, are the church pains. Hurts and pains, our fractures, can come in so many different ways, and we don't necessarily know how to handle them all, but God gives us one instruction, I believe, for every hurt and pain that we face, every brokenness, and it's the answer that's going to heal us, and it's the word forgiveness. Gosh, it's so hard. It's so hard. It's Jesus said in Matthew, He says, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. He also said, then Peter came to Him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? That's enough, isn't it? That's enough chances. That's more than 3 strikes. That's 7. He says, no, that's not enough. 70 times 7. That's a lot of times. I believe this can be done. This can be one of the hardest verses to trust the Lord with, is to forgive those that have hurt us. But I believe it is the answer to healing from most of our hurts and pains, if not all of them. It is the answer. It's the sucking the poison out, that bitter root, that junk that's affecting us. Somebody says that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to be affected by it. And said, we're the ones infected by it. Okay, now luckily I shared, I grew up in a stable home. I didn't have a lot of those hurts and pains from life that I had to deal with. But I've had other things, disappointments. I had a girlfriend that I trusted, I believed in. And she went around and slept with her former boyfriend on me. And that hurt. It hurt a lot. Okay, and some of you have had that. It's a giant step to forgive. And I, for 2 days, moped around. I was feeling sorry for myself. I trusted this person. You know what? God showed me something. I looked her in the eyes one night and I said, I forgive you. You know what? Something broke inside of me. And all of a sudden there was a switch of joy. And I would say compared to probably a lot of the hurts and pains in your life, that's a small hurt and pain that I had. Okay? Well, there's a couple that are a few years younger than Christy and I that we went to college with, and for a short period of time, they were youth pastors in Minnesota while we were there. And they looked like they were living the dream. They had 4 kids. They were the youth ministry was exploding. They were reaching a lot of kids in their community. Things looked like they were going good. And all of a sudden, it was found out that he had begun a relationship with one of his students. And they lost their position, and they separated for a while. He was separated from his wife and his 4 kids, and their dream was shattering. He lost, I'd say, virtually everything. And they got a cool story because she through a lot of counsel and a lot of prayer, and just she forgave him. She forgave him, and their marriage is doing well. They're headed in the right direction. They're still involved in ministry today in a different area, obviously. They got to guard their hearts, and so do churches, over from what choices he had made. But I love the story that she forgave and their marriage was restored. That's what God can do with the hurts and pains in our lives. She forgave and she trusted the Lord with her fractured heart. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes there's nothing we got to remember, there's nothing that God cannot mend and fix. No brokenness, no hurt, no pain, no suffering that we have to continue carrying. And forgiveness, man, it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's the one that's going to bring the healing. It's the one that's going to bring the healing. It can take great energy, but with the Lord's help, anything is possible. And you got to remember that. Trust the Lord with your fractures by forgiving, and you're going to find your healing. And the last area I'm going to look at today, faith, failures, fractures, and finances. Everybody's favorite. Come to church, and we talk about God. But I got a picture on there, in God we trust. It's on our money. But do we really trust him? Do we really trust him? And I've learned this. I learned this as a young married man. My wife, she led me for a little while in showing how to tithe and how to budget and to do those things, because I came from a family where we went through bankruptcy, and I watched my dad and my parents lose everything. And so it's hard to trust God when I believe that they were trusting him. But I'm amazed at how many Christians don't trust the Lord with their finances through tithes and offerings. It's amazing. And it's one of the things I believe we are holding ourselves back from the blessing of God. We are deliberately, we're choosing to say, God, I got this under control. And yet, if we would just say, Lord, here it is. I'm trusting you with this. Man, we would find so much freedom. I believe that tithing is an absolute trust in the Lord. By tithing, and I'm a math guy, I wanted to be an accountant like Joel Rennie when I was younger. I wanted to go to college and be an accountant. I love math. It was my favorite subject in school. And they didn't have enough math classes at my school because I would have taken them all. But it took me a while to wrap my head around, God, how is 90%, if I'm giving my tithe, my 10% to the church, how is 90% better than me living off 100%? Didn't make sense, but it does now, because I've seen it. I've watched it. I've seen others do it. God will take your 90% when you trust him by giving that 10% to the storehouse, to the church. That 90% will go further. It's hard to explain. You just got to do it. And you will see the hand of God at work in your finances. Now, God will make that 90% stretch further than 100%. Guaranteed. Malachi says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it. And try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I have guarded them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I love that he says, try it. Put me to the test. Give it a try and see if I won't deliver. If you can trust me with it. He's really saying, just trust me. Now, there's a cartoon up here. I saw this many years ago. This guy being baptized. Well, Charles, when I baptize you, everything that goes under belongs to the Lord. Not this, God. This isn't yours. This is mine. That's how some of us actually live. We can laugh at it, but the scary thing is that's how a lot of us view tithing and the Lord's work. And our finances is more than tithing, it's offerings. I believe that when you believe God and trust him with the tithes, he will ask of you to give offerings. He will ask of you, there's a need there, there's a person in need, there's a situation there, I want you to give. And be like, really? That's a lot of money. But he always provides. It was a time when Christy and I were just about to graduate, and we were encouraged, this was our teaching back in the 90s, is you should have a suit. You should have enough for 4 Sundays, 4 suits. I was like, okay, I'm behind the eight ball because I didn't have any. And so I'm about to graduate, and I got one right before my junior or senior year. I got a suit during our senior year, beginning of senior year, I got a suit. Well, then came Easter time. We had a little money, and I said, okay, God, we're going to get another suit. And we paid $100 for a suit at Halberstadt's, and it fit perfect. And I was like, all right, this is cool. Well, then we went and had an appreciation banquet for the ministry leaders at our college. And we had a guy a year younger than me that went to the banquet with Christy and I, and he rode with us, and he said, man, I'm about to do my internship, and we're supposed to have these suits, or they encourage us to, and I don't have any. And we went home, and we're like, I think God wants us to give that suit away. I was like, man, whatever. So we took it over, and you know what? It fit him perfect. Perfect, he said. This is the place I would have bought a suit at if I was going to get one. You know what? We had some friends come through to visit us before the end of school ended. And they left $600 on our bed. I don't think the $600 would have happened if the $100 wouldn't have happened. Okay, now I'm not saying you leave that and God's going to give you that. That's not always going to happen. We've given thousands of dollars away to different things that we felt God saying, I want you to give, I want you to bless, they're in need, or they've got this desire in their heart, but they can't provide for it, and we've done that. You know what? We haven't gotten money back every time, but we found the verse in the Bible that says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we've been so blessed. We've had health, we've got good kids, our clothes don't seem to wear out at most of the time. God just does things, vehicles and things like that. God blesses in other ways. Good friendships, we don't have strife at home most of the time. When I listen, I'm obedient, okay? I'm just saying, if you want to trust God with your finances, number one, start tithing. Give of that 10%. God will make your 90% go further than 100. Guaranteed. He says, test me, try me, trust me and see if it won't happen. And then he's gonna challenge you more with it. Because whose pocketbook is this? It's the Lord's. It's His. He's blessed me. He's given us skills and talents, health, to be able to do what we do. And we got to recognize where this source comes from. God will bless us when we trust Him. He'll bless us when we trust. And so, it's maybe not something that the youth pastor hits on finances, but it's something that I've lived, I believed, and I strongly share. I have a burden for it. I believe that if every person in church would tithe, all the projects in church and ministries would be fully funded in a church. That works of ministry could go out without things, and this church is generous, this church is good, and many of you are doing this, but if you're one that hasn't, try the Lord, test Him, trust Him with it, and see what He'll do with it. He'll blow your socks off, I guarantee it.